You are listening to BensTorah.com.
What is our attitude when it comes for a Jewish person, besides learning Torah, to study a science like astronomy? Now, is there an Indian, is there a mitzvah to study astronomy? And the answer to that question is, according to Chazal, already alluded to in Pasha's Veschanan, which we read a couple of weeks ago. I'll quote the exact pasuk from which this is derived. It's a fascinating pasuk. While I quote it to you, you'll be able to see exactly how this refers to the concept of Jews being experts in the concept of astronomy, the science of astronomy. The Torah tells us, "Ushmartem va'asisem ki hichachmasem ubi'anasem la'ini ha'amim." Hashem says we should be involved in the special chachmi we have because of the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. In order to be involved in Kiddush HaChodesh, to mekadesh the moon each and every month, and to know when the moon is supposed to be seen, and to be able to make the calculations, to know whether it's a 20-day month or a 30-day month, we have the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, a mitzvah that was taught to us in Parshas Bo. HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodesh, Hashem gave Klal Yisrael, the Bezdin Gadol of Klal Yisrael, the ability to sanctify the moon each and every month. By sanctifying the moon each and every month, you were able to know exactly not only when the month begins, but the various Yom Tovim of the Shlosh Regalim, which are dependent upon a calendar date, when those Yom Tovim are going to take place. Later on, when even the Yom Tov Derabbanans of Chanukah and Purim are going to take place, knowing the calendar dates are very important when it comes to seasons, when you're supposed to pray for rain and not pray for rain, and all the other phenomena that we have to relate to the natural world around us, this is a very important chachma called the chachma of astronomy. Astronomy basically tells us how to show the connection between the sun, the moon and the earth, and to figure out with their interrelationships how, in fact, the calendar we use each and every day during the whole year is created based upon events taking place during that specific time frame. I want to read you the definition of astrology based upon textbook and then relate it to halacha and then get to the second part of my discussion. What is the concept of astronomy? Astronomy is the scientific study of the celestial objects, stars, planets, galaxies, other celestial phenomena. It involves observing, analyzing, understanding the physical properties, motions, interactions of these objects. Astronomers use various techniques and tools to accomplish this. They use telescopes, satellites, computer models, and they're able to discover many things about the universe. Therefore, in their mind, astronomy is a branch of science. It seeks to understand nature, the workings of the universe, for observation and theoretical models. So it's a pure science. And there's no question our Chazal were experts in the science of astronomy. And they understood this Chachma on such a level that they were therefore able to forecast what is the beginning of each and every month, and therefore all the holidays then ensue because of it. As I mentioned before, they were able to figure out certain things that sometimes happen as astronomical phenomenon when it comes to perhaps having a moon that is concealed or a sun that's concealed momentarily because of the positioning of the earth, the moon, and the sun. All of this is a chacham abina that the Jews had expertise in, and the Rabban Shlom says, since the Gaim see how great you are and how brilliant you are in this science of the concept of astronomy, utilizing it for date and time and everything else, and being able to understand the movements of the sun, the moon, and the sun and their integration, we will look upon this great Chachamim and Nevonim at the time, going back to the time of the giving of the Torah because of this knowledge. And it's called Chachmas Chobinas L'fnei Ha'amim, when we know it and we're able to show its perfection, we are causing a Kiddush Hashem Shemayim, a tremendous mitzvah Kiddush Hashem, showing that we're Am Chacha Ben Avon. The Jewish people were picked not only because Hashem wants us to be His chosen nation, because we're Am Chacha Ben Avon. We're very intelligent. We're brilliant. We're able to understand everything in this world, not only Chachmas of Torah, but the Chachma of natural law. So there is a mitzvah, there is an inyan that if you have the expertise and ability to understand and comprehend astronomy, you were supposed to study it and utilize it and figuring out all the cheshbonos related to Zman and time and mitzvah performance. And therefore, this is a real Chachma that we should know, as the Rambam himself, who was a tremendous Torah giant and involved in the science as well. This is a real, real Chachmas HaBriah that we have to be knowledgeable of. We have to be bekiyam in it. We have to be experts in it. And this applies to any other medical science that relates to human life, whether it's medical, whether it's technological. We're supposed to be expert in it. It's to show that as the Amar Nivka, Hashem exposed this to all the Chachma, not only Chachma Sitar, but the Chachma of the Bria, of the physical world in which we exist as well. Hashem gave a total Hisgalus, a total revelation of this. Shlomo HaMelech is known to be given a full understanding of all the Chachma in this world, not only Chachma Sitar, but Chachma of the entire universe in all its ramifications of science and medicine and technology. Shlomo was the most brilliant person in his generation, and not only Torah law, but even in secular natural law and technology and medicine. This is a matas elokim be revealed to us. Atzelam Akim gives us the ability to be able to understand and comprehend it. And this is an inyan we're supposed to study in order for it to be a what we call a maidservant of the Torah, that we're able to understand parts of the Torah to deal with medicine and halacha that relate to scientific phenomena as well. The Torah tells us how to integrate Torah with science in those areas to give us the expertise we need to be the best scientists, technologists, and medical doctors under Hashgafas HaTorah for our patients or the people that come to us for help and needs in these various areas. So the fact that that astronomy is supposed to be studied, nobody debated that. Nobody questioned it. This was universally accepted as a given. What I'm going to discuss today, however, is a controversy about another type of studying of the stars that was looked upon as a sister to astronomy. And in fact, in early generations, they didn't really make a good between astronomy and the following science called the science of astrology. Now, what is astrology? Astrology is the belief system that suggests a connection between the position of the celestial bodies in the heavens and events that occur on the earth. It is used often to study and interpret the influence that the planets, the stars, and other celestial objects have when it comes to the facts of human behavior below, personality traits, events. Astrology's birth charts, which are based upon positions of celestial objects at the time of person's birth, to make predictions and understand aspects of a person's life and personality. What is astrology? By now, astrology is not considered a scientific discipline by many people, and therefore, if that's the case, it's not given the same position in the world of scientific study as astronomy is. Astronomy is a pure science. Astrology, there's a debate what astrology is, but the question we have today is, do we as Jews, number one, have a right to study astrology? Is astrology a reality in the world of halacha and hashkafa when it comes to this concept and this specific yisod in which we believe that based upon the day and the time that a person is born will determine the personality traits of that person, their human nature, future events that are going to take place when it comes to that person's existence on the face of this earth, the time, the hour, the day, the various zodiac signs in the heavens, that when they're basically put together with the time of the day and the actual day of the week, etc., it will determine exactly what the person's personality is. I mean, this is a very interesting question. This is called the concept of judicial astrology. And whether we're supposed to believe that this exists or doesn't exist, is this a mere reality or something made up by human beings based upon for various reasons, religious or political, is a big debate I'm going to expose you now. And I want you to listen carefully because it's interesting to hear the different opinions and the proofs for either case. And so listen carefully as I share that with you. And then I will tell you what the majority opinion is. but I want to give you a full expose concerning the study of today, what's called judicial astrology. Now, I do want to mention to you that the one who quite obviously was the one that was the most anti-astrology, the one who literally said astrology is a total falsehood, a total sheker, has no meaning or significance whatsoever, is a very great personality, a Torah personality that all of you know. The personality I'm referring to is none other than Maimonides the Rambam, who himself was known to be a brilliant, not only a brilliant Talmid Chacham of the entire Torah, but he was one of the most well-known doctors in his historical period of time. There's a reason that the Egyptian rulers made them their personal doctor, and that was his position for most of his life when it comes to serving as their physician. The fact of the matter is that Rambam was very familiar with all the sciences, quite obviously he was an expert in astronomy and perhaps chemistry or other physics or other stuff that's related to his medical career that he was an expert in. But when it comes to the concept of astrological phenomenon, the Rambam was very, very, very explicit in his opinion. And the fact of the matter is, the two sources I want to quote from the Rambam, where the Rambam discusses his attitude towards astrology. One place is going to be basically the special letter he wrote to the Chachamim of southern France, Chachamim of Montpellier, and other places, or Marseille, some say, in which they asked him, is there any truth to the concept of the study of astrology? Is astrology real or is it false? And in this Igeris that he wrote to the Chum of southern France, he is a very, very explicit in his opinion in the following fashion. His basic thesis is astronomy is a science, like medical sciences, like physics, chemistry, like any other part of natural law study that we have in the face of this earth and the world of scientific and technological phenomenon. It's a real science. And as he points out in the Pesukim I quoted before, it's something that Hashem wanted us to study. He told us how to study it. In fact, the Rambam tells us in the halachas of Kiddush HaChodesh that there were two systems they were able to work with when it comes to determining the new month each and every month, and the concept of whether the year is going to be a regular year or a leap year. There was the, what we call, the system of the witnesses coming and giving testimony in front of court when they saw the moon coming out for the first time in the beginning of the new cycle. It's called the Molad, the birth of the moon each and every month as it gets from smaller, bigger and bigger, then goes wanes, gets smaller again, the 29-30-day cycle. Normally, it's called Kiddush HaChodesh through witnesses. But there's another automatic system that when you don't have a Bezdin, you can't have Eidah anymore, a system that we use today that was started during the Tekufa of the early Amorayim, and that's the system we use to this very day, which is an automatic system that tells us exactly when everyone's going to be a full month, when everyone's going to be a partial month, whether it's 29 days, 30 days, even without witnesses coming, it's a set fixed calendar. This set fixed calendar has basically been working for thousands of years. When the third base of Midrash will be rebuilt, our witnesses coming to give testimony again, we'll go back to the other system, which is based upon the testimony of witnesses. But we have an automatic system, but the automatic system was given to us by the Rabbeinu Shalom, giving us a very, very intense knowledge of sun, moon, and earth interactions, though exactly when and where we're able to declare this a month of 29 days or 30 days, when the Yom Tovim are going to take place. This is an automatic system that functions today. So astronomy was a pure science. The Rambam says when it comes to astrology, he calls it the biggest lie that ever existed in world history. It's a sheker hagadol and has no value whatsoever. And the Rambam says if you want to see halachically how I deal with astrology, look to my halachas and hilchos avodas tefavin, And in my halachos, I will discuss the concept of astrology and tell you my halachic opinion. In fact, in the 11th parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says a person who is involved in astrology is violating an Issa Daraisa of being a Ma'onain, basically determining which times, based upon astrology, are good times and bad times, what's a good day, what's a bad day, what's good for people, what's bad for people, what activities are good, what activities are bad. He calls this the Issa of being Ma'onain, which is one of the Issa Daraisa that I mentioned in the Torah itself. The Torah says, no, sis oninu. The Torah says you shouldn't be involved in these types of activity. And if that's the case, you have malchus for practicing this type of activity. Not only it's not a mitzvah, it's an avera. And in his mind, as he says at the end of the chapter, concerning all the other idolatrous types of fortune telling, through necromancing, darishalamesim, or other things that people basically use in those days to try to figure out the future events, the Rambam is very explicit at the end of the perek, and he says, I wanted to know, all these things are divrei shekhar v'chasdav, they're total falsehood. The early peoples on the face of this earth fooled other people into thinking that this was a great science as well, that astrology was a great science. It's hevel. They told people this is important to know, but I wanted you to know, as far as I'm concerned, whoever thinks that these things are true, have any type of value whatsoever, he members the Divrei Chachma. Fact is, they're making a big mistake. They're quite obviously the following foolish concepts, and therefore the things that deter Asid over here is not because they have any real value to them. It's because Hashem does not want you to waste your time in things that are totally of no value whatsoever, don't have any truth to them. And the Torah therefore says, because they have no value whatsoever, they're not in the world of reality, the other pasuk, Tami Yom Hashem Elokecha, just believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah over mitzvahs, and don't listen to astrological phenomena. The Rambam felt in his big essay to the French Baalei Tosfos that believing in astrology, that the astrology will teach you when a person is born, what the personality traits are going to be. For instance, a person who is born under the influence of the planet Mars and the zodiac sign Mars and everything else, time and date, that person is going to spill blood. And quite obviously, what that means, he'll be a blood spiller, but what he determines, how he's going to spill blood, we're going to get there very shortly, that will be their determination. You could do it for bad things as a murderer. You could do it for good things by being a doctor. But this is already predetermined in your personality, in your nature, because of the influence that astrological planetary phenomena have on human beings from the time of their birth to the time of their death itself. So the Rambam felt all of this is bubba maises, is shekhar v'chasdav, takes away the fear of schavshes, he felt, takes away the whole concept of schar v'onesh, because if everything's predetermined, but when you're born, the day, the time, and everything else, where's your free will? Where's the Bechiras Chavshis? So if that's the case, he literally rejected it with both hands, and he's known for his total rejection of this specific concept. The only problem is, this was the Rambam's opinion, and some other singular Rishonim agreed with him, but when you look in Torah Shavuot Peh at large, when it comes to most Tanoim, most Amoraim, and especially most Rishonim, as I'm going to mention very shortly, and Ge'onim and Achronim to this very day, and especially Mukubalim, they all believe that astrology is a system that Hashem created, going back to Maaseh Bereishis, that somehow Hashem, in his supervision of the world below, created all different types of astrological phenomena and planets and stars and other things that serve as Hashem's conduit to control activities that take place on the face of this earth when it comes to human beings. And in fact, in the mind of the Ramban, who is one of the most articulate when it comes to this, Ibn Ezra, who is known to be a brilliant astrologer of his day, even in the Jewish world, sought the Ibn Ezra's opinion when it comes to astrological phenomena concerning their kingdoms. He used to be a court advisor. You have also the Abar Benel, who had tremendous belief in the concept of astrology. And you have the Rajbah, I have a safe over here that lists on the comments to a list. You just can't imagine how many Gedolim believed in the efficacy of astrology. And the Chuvah Sagonim, the Ravid, you have over here the Ram, Rabbeinu Nissim, you have Rav Haigon, Rav Shmiragon, you have over here the opinion of Yehuda Halevi, you have the opinion, as I mentioned before, the Ashba, of the Meiri, of the Ralbag, of Yisak Abayav, of Hasdei Krepis, Rashbat, of Yosef Alibo. I mean, I can go on, list more names and names. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, was known to believe in this as well. In fact, when he came to explaining the Kabbalistic work, Sefer Yetzirah, he used astrological phenomena to explain the concepts of how the world was created and how the astrological placement of the planets and everything else played into Yetzirah's Olam based upon Bria's Olam. So there's an overwhelming group of Gedolim from the time of the Tanaim to the present who actually believed in the efficacy and the emistikai that astrology does exist. The big question we have, and this is the fact of the matter is that when you look in the Talmudic text especially, and you say to yourself, which shita seems to be more pronounced and proven, is the Rambam's rejection of astrology as being Shekhar V'Chozov apparent in the Talmud, or is the opinion of the Ramban and all the other Rishonim I mentioned before who says that astrology does exist, which seems to find greater pronouncement in Talmudic sources, proving that there is such a system that we have to be concerned about or have to deal with it in a certain way? And the fact of the matter is, there's a very famous Gemara, Masechet Shabbos, that everybody quotes on Kuf Nun Vav, where the Gemara tells us that in the name of Amoraim and Tanoim, that Mazel, the concept of Mazel, when you're born, the day, the time, and everything else, can determine whether you're a Chacham, can determine whether you're an Osher. Yesh Mazel Yisrael is a concept of Mazalos that do impact upon everybody in this world, including the Jewish people. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He says, no, I hold a Mazel Yisrael. Now, that doesn't mean there's no such thing as Mazalos, but in his mind, Mazalos, which do exist, and for most nations on the face of this earth, Mazalos will impact upon the history of that kingdom, its successes, its failures, the history of human beings, their successes and failures. Rav Yochanan says, when it comes to Klal Yisrael, Hashem, based upon various psukim in the Torah, has demonstrated that the fear of astrological phenomenon is something the Goyishim world have to be concerned with, because they will put under the supervision through God's divine providence that they should be under the control of these natural forces. But when it comes to Klal Yisrael, we hold a Mazel Yisrael. Mazel has no impact upon us. If we weren't Jews, it would have an impact upon us. Since we are Jews, it doesn't. And he brings as the golden proof the narrative of Hashem with Avraham Avinu when it comes to the Parshas Lech Lecha, when Hashem had promised Avraham and Sarah is a child that's going to be born from the pregnancy of Sarah from Avraham. And Avraham said, but I saw in my astrological investigation that I'm not supposed to have any children together with Sarah. So how can you say I'm going to have a child? So the Rebbeinu Hashem says to him, do not worry. Even though astrologically, based upon Mazalos, maybe you could not have had a child, I am going to make sure a Mazal Yisrael Mazalos to have an impact upon you as being the forefather of the Jewish people together with Sarah, that you are going to demonstrate to Klal Yisrael that we're not bound by natural law, you're not bound by Mazalos, you're able to supersede natural law and the various impediments that it imposes upon you. Just get away from your astrological phenomenon, a Mazal Yisrael, and you're going to see that you and Sarah will have the ability, technically speaking, to be able to have children, because I'm going to change the astrological phenomenon to make a possibility that you and Sari Meina will produce a child. And Baruch Hashem, Yitzchak was born based upon that promise of a Kaddish Baruch to Avram in the Bris Bein Habasara. I do want to mention to you that the Baalei Taisus point out on this Gemara Masechet Shabbos that doesn't there seem to be a Gemara in Masechet Mayikatan which says when it comes to Baalei, how many children we have, Chayai, how long we live, with all the panos we have. It's not depend upon schusim, on schus we have. It depends upon mazel. So how in the world can you say a mazel Yisrael? So the Taisa says very simply that even though the whole world normally is geared and under the rule of mazalos, Jew and non-Jew alike, because we have a Torah Kedosha, and the schus gadol of Torah itself, learning Torah, practicing mitzvahs, giving tzedakah, being involved in the mitzvahs of the Torah, and our kravis, our intimacy between ourselves and our Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're able to change the mazalos for our benefit. We're able to literally make what might have been a chov into a zuchus for ourselves, and change our mazalos, and live longer lives, and live healthier lives, and have children, and have parnasa, that we are able to change the mazalos upon us, because we're not bound by mazalos, unlike the non-Jewish world that are bound by mazalos. The fact the Gemara tells a very fascinating story to show you one of the greatest chachamim I always talk about in my lectures. And that is the famous Rabbi Akiva had an incident in which it shows us even Rabbi Akiva basically was concerned about astrological predictions. The story goes the following.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Rabbi Akiva had a daughter that was about to be married. A person who was a Kaladi, the Chaldeans, who were experts in the concepts of astrology, told Rabbi Akiva on the day of his daughter's marriage that unfortunately she's not going to survive. Somehow a snake's going to bite her and kill her after the marriage takes place. And Rabbi Akiva seems to be very concerned about what that astrologer had told him. What happened was, as the story goes, after the marriage took place, nothing happened to her. She happened to be wearing a beautiful tiara on her head that had sharp points. Before she went to sleep that night with the chasan, she stuck that specific tiara into the wall with the sharp points, not realizing herself on the other side of that wall there was a snake that might have had the ability to kill her. But when she put it into the wall, she ended up killing the snake without even realizing what she did. And she only realized what she did the next morning when she took the tiara out of the wall. She saw the dead snake connected, and she realized, wow, little did I know, by putting it in the wall, I killed this snake. The next day, her father came, and knocked at the door in the morning, finding out how she is doing. And she says, Baruch Hashem, Tati, I'm okay. He felt relieved, and he which was curious, what happened? I mean, why was the astrologer wrong? So he asked his daughter yesterday at your marriage ceremony, did anything happen that perhaps I should know about? She said, you're talking, you know, something did interesting happen. But after the wedding ceremony took place and we're eating our chasana meal, I was about to eat my chasana meal, and somebody knocked at the door. I opened the door, and Nebuch, there was a poor man who basically said he didn't have anything to eat. He was starving. So I said to myself, how can I let this poor man on the day of my simcha be in such misery? I took my wedding meal, my suda, I gave it to him to eat for him to have food. I gave it to Dabka. So Rabbi Akiva exclaimed, yesterday after the marriage took place, you performed a great mitzvah tzedakah. So Rabbi Akiva, upon hearing this, went out and he made the following derush. Tzedakah tatzel mimobet, tzedakah saves you from death. And not only from misa meshuna, from bad deaths, but misatvet saves you from death, period. So we see over here that Rabbi Akiva basically was telling us what the Baal HaTosfos said many years later, that even though there might be a decree through astrology concerning a certain thing that might impact upon you and your family, but tefillah, tzedakah, Torah, all the big mitzvahs we do, are able to mevatel the predictions of these mazalos, allow us to supersede the mazalos in natural law. Mazel doesn't have any shlita upon klai, so we can supersede the mazalos and change from bad to be good entirely. What happened to his daughter is a perfect example of the power of giving just charity alone. So we see the Rabbi Akiva and other made Reja Tanoyim were truly believers. The mazalos exist, but we're able, and Hazel is so able to supersede our mazalos. The concept, again, of Banai, Nezanev, Echariai, children, Panasa, and life, even though Bazalas might determine initially, were able to supersede it by the schus of Torah, Mitzvahs, and Torah, and Mitzvah, and everything else. The fact of the matter is, this is something that you find continuously mentioned over and over in our Chazal. And that is why the Rishonim and Aphrodim who quote the concepts of Mazalos, quote these cases of Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara in Shabbos, and other places, to prove the fact that Mazalos are literally in existence in the world of reality. And in fact, those who are experts in astrology can predict phenomena concerning Goyim who are under Mazalos, concerning their personality, their lifestyle, what they're going to do with their life. They can basically predict, basically speaking, the concept of what's going to happen to nations and warfare and historical phenomenon. There is a phenomenon like this, but the Goyish world are bound by it. Klaus, the Magli Israel, are going to function Mechutz Midef HaTeva, when Malik Midef HaTeva. And in fact, Chazal pointed out, going to the Maimon Chazal I mentioned before, that if you're born under Mazal Madam, under the Mars, red planet, the bloody planets, on the day and the time that this specific planet, zodiac signs and everything else and time frame seems to be the date of your birth, and you're going to be a shedder of blood, so the Gemara says, you have the right to determine what you're going to do with it. You could be a murderer, you can use it for bad things, but you can do it for good things. You could end up being a surgeon, saving human life by spilling blood. You could be a mole performing the mitzvah b'ris milah. There are a lot of good things you can do by being a shedder of blood that are positive, that are mitzvahs, that are tremendously important in the salvation of human life. The Bechira Chavshas is up to you. In fact, what the Ramban and others do to counter the Rambam's claims there's no free will over here is not true. It might determine certain dispositions that you have, certain qualities that you have, certain kalchus that you have, but you will determine whether those kalchus, those dispositions will be used for good and for bad. So your Bechira Chavshas has not been eliminated as the Rambam claims. It's still there. But you have the right, because you're given Bechira by Hashem, to fine-tune those qualities, those personality traits, and those specific qualities that you possess in your personality, in your nature, to use it as a constructive device to live your life and bring up your family and to make a positive contribution to the world, that's the Bechiras Chavshus. You still have the ability to do such. But Mazalos do have an impact when you're born to give you certain dispositions. What will happen with all the specific dispositions is your Bechiras Chavshus. So this is where the Rambam and the Ramban and all those who debate this topic come into the debate. Is this full Bechiras Chavshus? The Rambam is of the opinion that if you would have things like the Mazalos determining your disposition, your personality traits, that's Bimafki or Bechiras Chavshus, you know, your free will. The Ramban says, no! Since I have a right to determine what I do with these dispositions, what I do with these qualities, I'm going to shed blood, but to be a doctor, to save human life, to be a male, perform the big mitzvah bris milah. That's 13 covenants that Hashem made on this mitzvah alone. I can do great things by shedding blood in a positive fashion. It didn't take away my Bechiras Chavshus to use it for good. This was a very, very crucial debate and discussion that took place in time of antiquity. And this discussion basically continues to this very day when it comes to this very, very interesting and fascinating topic itself. We do want to mention to you, as the literature goes through on this specific topic, that even the Ramban, in one of his tshuvos, talks about the fact that even though Mazalos do have an impact upon us, nevertheless, technically speaking, we should basically, as far as he's concerned, realize that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything that happens in this world. Hashem surely controls the mazalos that he created, going back to the time of Briyat Olam. In fact, the Ramban himself has, in the Sefer Mitzvah, by Nachmanides, in the Sefer Mitzvahs, he has a special mitzvah based upon the Pasuk of Tavim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, which is a pasuk contained in Parshas Shoftim, you will be reading the Shabbos. And in it, he defines our attitude of Tavit Yemeshel Lokecha as it relates to the concept of astrology. Listen very carefully, because the Rambam deals exactly with the problem that I mentioned for the last couple of minutes. The Rambam says, we were mitzuva to be with our heart and mind totally connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tavit Hashem, Tavit Yemeshel Hashem Lokecha. What's the meaning of this specific divine command? That our heart should be dedicated exclusively to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should believe that the Rabbi Mishlop is in control of everything. And Hashem knows the truth of everything that's going to happen in the future as well. Hashem Reyes HaNailot. Only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu we should basically come to ask questions from His prophets or from Anshei Chassidov. What perhaps we have to be concerned about when it comes to our future events. We shouldn't go to the astrologers, the people like them, but we should believe that, basically speaking, what Hashem says is the Iker, HaKol B'day Shem, everything is in the hands of heaven. Hashem, if He wants, Kimishana can change the order of the stars in heaven, the Mazalas and His will. And He brings Pesukim that demonstrate this phenomenon. The word Shakai means Hashem is Shayda, He's able to mevalbo, to undermine, and literally to totally put in disarray the mazalos for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. The Rebbe Hashem says we shouldn't follow the ways of the Gaon who are very, very into astrological phenomena. In fact, the Gemara Pesachim says, how do you know you shouldn't hear astrologers about future phenomena relating to you? And they quote the pasuk I mentioned before in Parshas Shaftim, Tamim Tiyah Mishal Lokecha. And he points out, therefore, don't listen to these Chaldeans, these astrologers itself. We shouldn't ask them their opinion about future phenomena that relate to us itself. We shouldn't be fearful of statements they make about what's going to happen to us or to the world based upon what they see in their astrological phenomena itself. And in fact, he points out that the first one to be commanded in this mitzvah to be tamim was none other than Avram Avinu himself. When Hashem made a bris with him, the bris milah and Parshas Lech Lecha, He said to Avraham, His halakha father, v'hayatam, walk in front of me and be a tamim. Now, why did he mention this concept of timimos to Avram at that point in time? Because Avram himself, being the first potential producer of the Jewish people, together with his wife Sarah, was the yesod, the foundation principle for our emunah in God, our belief, and total dependency upon the Kaddish Baruch Hu. He's the one who used to fight with the Kazdim, who used to say that the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars have powers, that we have to worship them and pray to them because they control what's going on. He fought with these idolaters, who said that things in heaven, these luminaries, control what goes on down below. He says, don't believe them. The Rabbi the Shalom is the one who determines how these astrological phenomena conduct themselves, especially as it relates to Klal Yisrael. Don't look upon them. Don't be mistaken all of these things. Realize that Rabbi the Shalom controls everything in the universe. He created the universe. Yesh Miayin. He can therefore change the universe and mishani the universe as He did in all the miracles we experience in Yetzias Mitzrayim, in Kriyas Yamsuf, for Aleh going to the Midbar. Nisim is Lamalim Edenach HaTeva, who is Mishani Teva. This shows Hashem creates nature. He can change nature. He can mishani therefore what the astrological phenomenon might have been goes there. And therefore, if that's the case, this is what Hashem said to Avraham, and He said, I'm not going to have children according to my astrology. The Gemara in Shabbos I quoted before, say me asiknivashallah, get out of your astrological predictions. It has no value. A mazal Yisrael, you're not bound by mazalos. Your mitzvah is, amim tiyam Hashem alakecha, be totally devoted, totally dependent by Kadosh Baruch Hu, as the pasuk says in Zehillim, hapateach Hashem chesed sevevanu. Whoever has been talking and belief in the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Hashem will watch over us. Hashem will take care of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that everything that has to happen happens in a positive position towards us. That's what we have to have belief in. Don't worry about astrology. But what's interesting or fascinating at the end of the day, that according therefore to Chazal, there is substance and reality to astrological phenomenon that Hashem created in the beginning of Briyat Olam. In fact, there's a quotation I have from one of the Gedolim, whose name was the Nemuki Yosef, wrote a Pirish on the Rif in Masechta Sanhedrin, in which he says very specifically that the concept of Kokobim, of the astrological phenomenon, that the fact of the matter is, the Marechas HaKokobim, this is something that the astrologers have expertise in. It's a Chachma Gedola, he says, Zera Shagaza Kodesh Baruch Mishesi Me'abresh, in the beginning of creation, this system was set into motion, L'Hadag Olamo, to be his conduit in the supervision of this world. But the fact of the matter is that every person who is a tzaddik, who is a yid, who believes in Torah and mitzvahs, he just has to mesfal tash mashem shemavatel any xeris hamazel that might impact upon us. God has the ability, the same way he made them, to change them. As Rabbi Kiva said, tzedakah tatzlimi mogas, that every act of charity of my daughter was mavatel that mazel of destruction you had foretest about her. However, Chazal point out that we as Jews have to believe that we're so close to Hashem, and we are basically his Am HaNivkra, his Am Sigula, and as a Devekas, Lishunas and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't have to be concerned with these astrological phenomena. A Mazel Yisrael, they're not impacting upon us as long as we occupy our life and our daily activities through Torah and Mitzvahs. That is the potency of the Koach of Torah that we have. The Torah is a protective device. It saves us, it's matzil us, it's megan, it protects us. Tzedakah is another potent device that Hashem created for the purposes of our protection, our existence, our ability to survive and go forward. All the halakha mitzvah Hashem gave us are literally divine protectors that surround Klal Yisrael, enable us to overcome even sickness and disease. Hashem wants it to be. Hashem will therefore allow this to happen. Many people who benebach were sick. I know cases of people who were deathly ill, very, very sick. And what happened was, one case, I won't go into the particulars, but I saw this in my own eyes. A special certain woman was very, very sick. The doctor said that they had very, very acute sickness in their lungs, and they don't know what's going to do, if they can ever save her. The night that the community heard about this phenomenon taking place, 300 women gathered in the shul, one of our shuls in our community, in davened for her, mass tehillim. And the next day, when that person, the husband of this woman, went back to the hospital, the doctor says, "What happened over here?" So the husband says, "What are you talking about?" And the doctor says, "We did an x-ray of your wife's slums today. Yesterday was full of disease. Today the disease disappeared. What did you guys do? This is not medicine that causes to happen. It's a miracle. It must be the prayer you gave to God that changed the entire physical situation of this woman's life." Tefillas HaRabbah, the tefillah of a rabbi praying for somebody who's sick, is of tremendous kayach. People don't realize the kayach of tefillas HaTzibur. It's incredible. It's very, very powerful. And this case demonstrates an example of how Tfilas HaRabim were able to eradicate the disease from this person's lungs, where the day before she was deathly ill, or the day afterwards, illness was disappearing. So we see over here that the things being that are able to be done on a level up and above natural law, things that are metaphysical powers of Torah and mitzvahs that are beyond our comprehension when it comes to their power and their koach and their energy. We just have to be maminim. We have to be believers in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the kachlus of Hashem. Hashem is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. He can do whatever he wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has divine providence. He knows what's going on with each and every one of us in our own private lives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is keeping this world alive every single day. And that tefillas we say in the morning very quickly, Hashem is mechadish b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishis, each and every day. Hashem, with his divine will, presses his divine button that the world should exist another day and another day. Every day there's a chiddush. There's a new recreation of the universe. It's not going on automatic. The Ribono Shel Olam controls whether the universe exists or ceases to exist. So don't listen to the scientists and don't listen to all these other experts who don't believe in God. I think that nature and natural law goes on by itself. It's on an independent route. Nothing to do with God anymore. He set it in place. And we as human beings live are subject to the rules and regulations, limitations of natural law, etc. and etc. What these people are saying is based upon conjecture, not Torah and Hashkafic reality. If you believe in God and you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the promise is made in the Torah. Observance of Torah mitzvos is what gives each and every human being the ability to survive and thrive in this world. Torah mitzvos give viability to the existence of natural law and all the various phenomena of the moon, the stars, the sun, and the earth interacting. All of this is working in a specific divine plan in order to make sure that human life can continue to exist on the planet of the earth. The Divine Hashem controls the universe. The universe is vast, an incredible large entity. But even the Gaiusha world came to the belief that there wasn't an eternal universe that existed. That was the belief of earlier cultures, going back to the ancient Greeks and Romans and earlier societies who had no idea of what I'm telling you today. The modern scientific world finally discovered themselves with modern instrumentation, the concept of the Big Bang, that actually there was nothing in the world. And all of a sudden, the Big Bang took place, and the whole magnificent, incredible universe that we see today through telescopes came into existence almost instantaneously. There are books written by astronomers, Nobel laureates, who call this the Big Bang. Unfortunately, they don't want to acknowledge that God pushed the button to cause this Big Bang, so they don't know how the Big Bang began, but that the Big Bang took place, and it went from creation ex nihilo, from nothing to something, from yesh mi'ayin. They now admit that in the scientific world that this is the opinion that's quoted by the greatest Nobel laureates who are experts in this science. But we have the zechus of having a chumash, a Bible that was dictated by Hashem to Moshe that told us, I, the Ribono Shel Olam, pressed that divine button. I created the universe with my divine kochos, my divine abilities, taking from nothing, making it into something. The Kabbalistic literature, the Sefer Yetzirah, described in the Psukim of Bereishis, they reinterpret the Psukim on a Kabbalistic to show exactly how the Ribono Shel Olam took the spiritual forces of his essence, contained in the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the prehistoric Torah, and turned those names in a specific way, mentioned the Sefer Yetzirah, and created the divine energy that ultimately metamorphosized into the physical universe we exist today. When you read the scientific books on this topic, it's as if they saw the Kabbalistic text and they were writing the scientific jargon with the Kabbalistic text. Say it's an amazing phenomenon. Hakol b'day shemayim. Everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our existence. We're supposed to say Baruch Hashem Yonah, thank Hashem, each and every day. Chazal say Hakol neshima v'neshima. On every breath that we take, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch every day for having this skus for our body to function properly in order to take that extra breath. The breath of Ashiyatza we make when we leave the bathroom is to remind us that the functionality of our body is a blessing of God. It's a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore not take it for granted and be cognizant of this every minute of the day. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. This is something we have to believe in. It's one of the Emunis Fideos that every Jew and Jewish and every human being, in fact, has to believe that their life and existence depends upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're all supposed to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it comes to our life, our existence on the face of this earth. There's certainly a Jew has to cry to Hashem on the right side of a base of rasta to cure you from illness and sickness. But Moshe Feinstein says that God has the same chiyuv d'oraisa to pray to God when they're sick and they have problems, that God should cure them from their specific illness. Belief that Hashem controls it all, that Hashem guides doctors in their medical profession and allows them to make proper diagnosis and prognosis and figures out how to treat a person's disease and treat it and cure a person. This is all Hashem is making the doctor his emissary, his shliach, in doing what he's doing. That's why the Rambam used to make a bracha every day before he did his medical activities, praying to God to give him siyata d'shmaya in his medical activities. That's why there's a chiyuv on every person who's sick, who undergoes medical treatment, especially surgeries, to pray to Hashem before he has the surgery done. But Hashem should guide the doctors and guide the nurses, guide the medical world in doing the procedure properly so that they should be safe from their disease and their sickness and their infirmity and be healed from all the things that are ailing them. This is part of HaShkafis HaChayim. HaKotolib Edeshla, everything is in the hands of God. But according to most Rishonim and Achronim and Kabbalah Kubalim, there is an astrological world. There is a concept of Kayaf HaMazalos. It is a certain type of scientific discipline that determines normal human conduct and behavior, what happens to them, but Kla Yisrael are Lamalim Yisrael. Same Yatikin Zoshkar, Yosef Achutze says on Avram, is a mice of a similar banim. We are able to go Lamala from that. We're able to basically overcome this natural law of astrology, able to supersede it, and have all different types of miraculous things, phenomena happen to us because of our unique position of being the Amanifa, the children of Avi Yitzhak Yaakov, and then the Sheikhayel, the Tzedikim Tzedkanias, that were the foundations of the beginning of Klal Yisrael, the Bali Amuna, our excellence of the earliest generations on the face of this earth. Tzadik Benusi Yechya, a tzadik survives because of the Amuna Bitachin and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is our Amuna, this is our Bitachon, this is what we have to believe. But according to this, Jews can, as Ibn Ezra did, study some of the astrological phenomenon, but realize at the end of the day, what it says in astrology for Jews is L'mayla Mayrid, we're able to supersede it. It might have relevance to the non-Jewish world, but to the Jewish world, quite obviously, we are L'mayla. Be aware of that, understand this. Talmud Tiyam Hashem Alakach, as the Ramban says, that should be our approach. And if that is our approach, we really believe that everything is dependent upon God and all these natural forces in the world will not impact upon us if Hashem is with us. If we really believe in that, we're totally Tamim Hashem, that will allow us to supersede anything that tries to oppose us on a personal level, on a family level, on a national, international level as a nation. We're a unique nation, and Hashem will give us the ability as we survived up until now, against all odds, against all concepts of natural law, of geopolitical natural law, against all odds you could possibly think of, plus to survive up until now, will continue to decide to be able to continue this with Amun and Bitachon, able to resolve to see most of Mashiach and being based on Mikdash. Let's hope and pray that Tashkakas Hashem will continue forever, forever on behalf of Klal Yisrael, leading us from Eilam Azari to Maisa Mashiach, to Eilam Abba. Hashem is with us. Had that moon and Bitachon. This was the Hashkaf of Rav HaRishonim when it came to the concept of our position concerning astrology, but our negation of it. These are the promises of the Bris Mein HaBesarim. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Hatzlach and Baracha. And Hashem should give us Hagita, Mazel, and Baracha, that we should have a happy and healthy life and a life of success and Baracha in all our activities, raising families, doing good things to help you, other human beings, and pray for Refuas, Yeshuas, and Gulos for Klal Yisrael.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.